Blog Talk Radio.
Peace to the ancestors. Yes. Peace to Dr. Cornell West. Yes. Peace to the movement. Yes. We came from the bottom. Ever since they got us, we've been going through these problems. 400 years behind, and it's no promise that we gon' never actually be equal, to be honest. It's messed up how they put us in chains, kidnapped our language and changed our names. But when we speak Ebonics, then they call it a shame. They leave us with a couple options, rob or slang. Now we locked up again. How much can our skin take? We went from slaves to inmates, carrying the weight of the 50 states, working your farms. Black nannies carrying white babies in their arms. Black men sacrifice their lives in your wars, but you'll never show appreciation here at home. You treat us so damn wrong. You act like you hate my race. The police, they just beat us in the streets like an 808 base. America, when will you defend my case? You never will, cause your freedom is fake. I'm only living here cause I wanna get paid enough to round up all my family and shake.
Get up, get up. Get up, get up. Get up, get up. Get up, get up.
They done tore down all the PJs in my barrio. Gang units for worst case scenario. Still a couple of quirks, can't call it pancakes cause you pour some syrup. It's a whole lot bigger than a pretty new house, especially when the rodent's still running about. P. Diddy running marathons, racing dough. That's going to the school where the tax money go. Homeland Security now, there's a phenomenon. Pacifying folks by hanging Saddam. Troops still riding, still obliging, still no Bin Laden. Tuned in waiting for the president's announcements. No 40 acres. Take these 40 ounces. We ain't gon' get on the levees. Revolution televised early. Is you ready?
Why you wanna treat me so cold, America?
Forced to climb instead of how your back heavy, beat and lost your mind. Especially when you done been down for so much time. Getting up don't even really ever cross your mind. You got porn shop, gun shop, liquor store sign. SWAT team, crack fiend, unemployed line. Stay late, dollar short, trying to buy time. What we do to survive is defined as a life of crime. You can't ball, then you forced to grind. If you fall, then you cross the line. And I've been putting in work from 9 to 5 and 5 to 9. Since phone calls cost a dime. What it made me is one of the relevant, highly intelligent. Brothers not only dealing with the same drug selling. If I'm a hustler, then what's more American? We all founded on the same drug heritage.
America, why you wanna treat me so cold? America,
you know the black freedom movement constitutes your moral conscience. You know we've been trying to redeem the soul of the nation, even as that nation is trying to render us soulless. So we're our soulful people, the blues people. We've been keeping alive the blood stained banner of democracy. Thank God for those who came before. We shall never forget them and always move forward with grace and dignity.
America, why you wanna treat me so cold? America,
God bless you. In for another exciting program on the Dr. Mary Lee Live across the nation of the United States of America. We got an exciting program tonight. We're going to be talking about our topic. It's going to be black mayors in small historical black towns. And our special guest tonight is Reverend Gary Michael Boyles, who's associate pastor at New Life Missionary Church. He's the current mayor of Langston, Oklahoma, and he also served as mayor from 1998 to 2002. He served as a chair of the governor's board for the Gundry, Oklahoma Red Cross. He served as chaplain of the Oklahoma Conference of Black Mayors. He's a senior IT specialist at Gundry Job Corps for the Department of Labor, where the Dr. Mary Lee live show comes on weekly, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Dr. Mary Lee is the founder and president of NCI, National Philanthropic Strategic Strategist for Incredible 400 Years Campaign. The song you just heard was by Dr. Cornel West. It's called America. It was done on Hidden Beach back in 2007, 14 years ago. The first rapper you heard was my son, Jeremy Tatum, followed by Rod Digga, Like Thought, and Dr. Cornel West. The music was produced by my eldest son, Corey Cochi Tatum. We're happy to introduce Dr. Cannon. He's available. He is the founder he is president of the Nick Cannon Foundation. Nick Cannon is the ambassador of the Incredible 400, H.R. 1242. And Mr. Cannon, are you with us today?
Oh, hello. And if this is Dr. Lee. He's not with us just yet, Dr. Tatum. And thank you very much for that great introduction.
You, God bless you.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Dr. James Cannon is probably still celebrating his birthday. I want to give a shout out to you. Happy birthday. And hopefully you will be joining us a little bit later on tonight, this evening. But we certainly appreciate you. Dr. James Cannon, he's the visionary behind the 400 Years of African American History Commission, the front and the center of community development. He loves what he does. His goal is to continue inspiring and developing the calling of just ordinary people, whether young or retired. James is the father of Nick Cannon, of course, who, as Dr. Tatum said earlier, is the National Ambassador for the 400 Years of African American History Commission and a major sponsor. Thank you so much, Dr. Tatum, for that great introduction. And Dr. Tatum said, we're talking tonight with Reverend Gary Michael Boyle and regarding the Black mayors in small historical Black towns. And we certainly appreciate you joining us tonight. Michael is not with us tonight. He's, as we know, he's still a student, a great person, and so he's got work he's doing tonight. We want to remind each one of you, if you have a question or a comment, please tap one on your phone, and we will definitely acknowledge you. Thank you for joining us. Also, if you're not just so comfortable about speaking, you can also text your questions. You can text the question to area code 571-251-5193. So we're going to go straight on to our guest tonight. We want to welcome you again, Reverend Gary Michael Boyle. And if it's okay, I'll just call you Mayor Boyle. How are you tonight, sir?
Dr. Lee, Dr. Tatum, thank you so much for the kind words. I want to thank everyone for allowing me to interrupt their evening. Happy birthday to Dr. James Cannon. I know that if he's celebrating out there right now, he's just enjoying himself wellfully, and it should be that way, of course. And then for all of the people that's putting in the work that you mentioned, we certainly want to respect those people and give them their props, because they're the people that actually make the things work. I was telling some of my staff the other day, and we were talking about all of the things that actually goes on in City Hall. And I said, if you look at it like that, you could say that the mayor might get props for doing something, or some of the other council members might get props for doing something, but it's actually the people that's behind them, that's putting in the work. They're the ones that are actually making people shine. So with respect to those people that's on the ground level, we love when they're putting in the work like that. That means we're grinding. We're getting something done, Dr. Lee.
Absolutely. You're so right. And I just do appreciate, you know, all of the people who are behind Dr. Mary Lee Live Show and the Neighborhood Commerce Institute that who just keep us going. And there's so many that never, ever say a word. And as the show, we've got some who have never missed a show from day one. And so that means a lot. That means a lot to our successes. I'd also like to acknowledge that Dr. Tatum, Mayor Boyles, is also a politician. Dr. Tatum has, I think you run for mayor a couple of times, right?
Yeah, that's correct, in the city of Bakersfield, California. Yes.
Yeah, in Bakersfield, California. So you both got a lot in common tonight, a lot in common in this area. So we'll just kind of get started here. Mayor Boyles, just tell us, you know, a little bit more about yourself and what is it that brought you, one, into politics, and two, did you start out initially as mayor or seeking your mayorship?
No, the political part of this was actually transpired by my wife. We were in the town of Langston, and we were discussing some things that were going on locally. And she said, you know, we're talking about it, but we're not doing anything about it. So let's do something about it. So we actually started to organize and start the campaign, and we won our first campaign. So from that point on, it became more of what can we do to advocate for the town that we live in, as opposed to being a politician. I got a taste of being a politician with the Oklahoma governor at one point, and we were discussing the road that was to be built through the town, and I had a bad experience with that. So I decided I didn't want to go into politics, as opposed to advocating for just doing the right thing, Dr. Lee.
Okay. So you're an advocator versus a politician.
Yeah, and as the old folks used to tell me, said, you know, politicians and babies got two things in common, and they need to be changed for the same reason, you know. So I'm really pretty much a advocate for that change. I think that we ought to, you know, institute term limits on the folks that's in Congress, and I think that needs to become a part of the accountability that Americans have to hold their people to.
So you've been, this is your second time as mayor of Langston.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So in 98 to 2002, What do you feel was for your biggest achievement then, and your and what you didn't accomplish that you wish you had, you wanted to accomplish?
Well, that's interesting. We decided to get the community involved in what they wanted. It wasn't the fact that we wanted something, but we engaged the community. My wife started a community project where all of the kids would come out, and the kids brought the adults out. So we all kind of got together and started thinking about it, and they said, well, we need health care. So we started to look at ways to involve professionals and started speaking with other health care providers, and we finally fell in luck with Mary Mahoney Health Services. They decided with the city's help, of course, that they would come in and renovate an old school that was left vacant. And they modernized it and built the walls up on it and made it just a little haven over in town now. It's parking lots are fenced in, it's paved, it's got modern architectural designs attached to it. So it's nice. And so that was one of the things that came from that. The other thing that we really wanted to do was establish some industrial parks. And I was at a conference of black mayors in Jacksonville, Mississippi. And I had my administrative assistant at that point call back and try to get a fixed price on some property that we had spoken about. And I had spoken to an individual in Langston about some property as an individual, and he agreed to sell it to me for, I believe it was $500 or $600 an acre at that point, which was reasonable, especially since I was asking for 80 acres. When they went back and approached him as a city official, it went from $500 or $600 an acre to over $2,000 an acre. And I was told just here recently that the same property is now on the market for over $600,000. So that's how this is set up here. And that's one of the reasons I could not complete the industrial park or the industrial parks, because we had a business park envisioned. We also had an industrial park envisioned to where they would do processing.
Okay. So a business park and an industrial park. Do you still plan to work on both of those?
I do. Actually, right now, even though the price of to acquire that property that we were looking at has reached about $650. I think someone mentioned in a meeting that you and I were in, Dr. Lee, that it was about $650,000, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, we'll still try to reach out to those folks right there if we can get this economic development board that we are organizing together to. See if we can approach some of these mega grocers and see if they can't have a presence in this food desert that we have.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so that's what I'm working on.
Okay. So what type of support, like being a small town such as you are, what type of support do you get from, like, your bigger towns, your bigger cities, if any at all? Do they become friends with your town, or are those large cities aloof?
If if I understand the word, the term that you're using, aloof, would you explain that to me, please?
Like, just stay away from you, just letting you do your, you know, without helping in any type of way.
Yeah. Okay, I see what
leaving you alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, independence has always been one of the things for the 13 black towns in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've always pretty much been on your own. I have had the pleasure of talking to a centurion that lived in the Langston area, and this was during the mid 90s, and he was a marshal in this town right here. So, and he was a young man telling me about the adventures of Langston when it was in its heyday, and how that so much was missing from it, and how it managed to come to such an untimely demise. And the stories that he was telling me was from an individual perspective, but it was in line with some of the history that has been shared about the Oklahoma Territory. For instance, there was a fear that the Oklahoma Territory would soon be overrun by blacks.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, during that time, during the 1889 land run, in which everybody in Oklahoma had a six-shooter or Winchester rifle, and most folks that we know of, just like in the Tulsa days, they were just trying to make a living. They were trying to carve out a living for
mm-hmm.
themselves.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Ms. Henry was telling me, is that during those days, there was one person that was ever arrested, and that was because he came to, they called it fisticuffs, Dr. Lee.
Mm-hmm.
It's a term that they use for fist fighting. They call it fisticuffs.
Oh.
And, and so I said the same thing. I said, well, what is fisticuffs? He said, well, that's mm-hmm. the term they use for fist fight. And I said, okay.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that. Yeah. So, during that time, they said, and that was pretty much what the jail population of Langston was at that point. So you can kind of surmise how it was demised. Mm-hmm. Have 60 thriving businesses at its heyday, and then to mm-hmm. go from 60 businesses to no businesses to dry it up.
Wow, that's something. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask. Yeah. I've got a lot of more questions, but I want to ask Dr. Tatum. To chime in and. Seeking mayorship and some of the things that you were prepared for in your town, but yours wasn't very small. And then plus you're also from your history that your Tatum, Oklahoma is there. So I want to let you chime in here.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Lee. No. Mayor, we are really grateful to have you a part of this conversation.
It's my pleasure, sir.
Yeah, thank you. I'm part of the descendant of the Tatum, Oklahoma. A great, Lee B. Tatum. Came from Tatum. So, yeah, I'm really happy that you're doing a great job there. I'm in a kind of a metropolitan area. We're about an hour northeast of Los Angeles. And residents mm-hmm. is close to 1,000. But out of that 400,000, we have about 55% that is Caucasian, and about 35% Hispanic, 5% African-American, and maybe about 6% Asian. So the demographic-wise, the challenges are there. So in 2016, the mayor for almost 20 years decided not to run. And we had 25 people run for mayor in the year 2016, And out of 25, I placed number 6 out of 25, first time running for office. Mm. And the person that came in second, he spent $500,000 and knocked on about 11,000 doors. And the person that came in third spent about $100,000. I came in 6th, I spent $1,500. And it was the first time. And then I ran again last year in 2020. I ran 2 races. I ran for city council and I ran for mayor. So last year I ran, it was 5 people that ran. I came in 2nd behind the mayor that, you know, won in 2016. This is a conservative town that I stay in, and they're backed by one of the biggest representatives of the Republican Party. Kevin McCarthy is from is here, and he's the minority leader. So he endorsed the current mayor and also the person that ran for city council. So that being said, you know, it is really hard going against those odds, and they pretty much get the police department, the fire department wrapped up. So you in a town where put it out there like that, I don't want to offend people that might be listening from California, but most of the African Americans pretty much have been popular, so give them money for their businesses, so they pretty much vote the way they go to vote. I'm not that person, so I guess when I start running, they was pretty amazed at me being bold and stuff. So that's what I'm dealing with in this town, close to 400,000, and I just gave you the numbers on the demographics.
My goodness, sir, you have some, you certainly have some challenges, or have overcome some challenges, let me say, because now you've got something perhaps that's a lot more valuable than most people think, and that's the name.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, absolutely amazing. You know, I've been, like, reading a few, you know, stories and just, you know, following, you know, mayors in small towns. And, well, one town I'm thinking of, it has about 10 to 12,000, and you know, it's a black town, and you know, you were saying that how Dr. Tatum, how Kevin McCarthy, you know, and then these big organizations backing or have a huge presence in that town. So they pretty much run in the town, you know, like one major company or, you know, a corporation pretty much get their own way. Is that how it goes?
Absolutely. Yeah. Also, I wanted to say, too, Dr. Lee, and for the mayor, if you don't know anything about the Kern County, Bakersfield area, they feed about a third of the world. The agriculture is in the billions of dollars. So they have the agricultural community, the owners behind it, and you have oil. So ag and oil, you have billions of dollars that get behind the Kevins, and that they have set aside to run the town. And you know, you got to be in lockstep. Like I said, I run by as God guide me, so I don't lockstep with anyone unless it's the Lord. So that's what I've been running against since 2016.
Man, I really feel that pain. I mean, Oklahoma is a historically Republican state, man, and to get anything done in this is just like it is in Washington right now. I mean, the Republicans got their way of doing everything to make it difficult for anyone to do anything. And I mean, I came on saying that I wasn't going to say anything about the two parties, so I've already done that. And but yeah, that's a big problem. It's something that I don't see a solution for, because it's either you're either leaning left or you're leaning right now. And there's no middle ground. The pandemic has exposed that. So, I mean, it's just, I guess, as Dr. King said, the two most dangerous things on the planet is conscientious stupidity, you know. Yeah.
So, like, in your town, Dr. Mayor Boyle, so do you have, like, a large company or you know, a support type or major presence of anyone, or you all are just, you know, pretty much on your own? We got to, like, build from ground zero.
Well, our major export is and for the foreseeable future is going to be education.
Okay.
Oklahoma, yeah. Langston is the only HBCU in the state that's recognized,
mm-hmm.
and we got one of the second best nursing programs in the country. So,
okay.
Our major export for the moment is going to be education. However, that education does not always improve what's going on over into the town, because you know we understand that there's two different funding levels there. One is a state funded level, the other is just a city funded level, which is, you know, one is top shelf and the other is a bar whale drink, they say, you know.
okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, so you did mention the food desert. You had mentioned that already. So, what's the educational system? What does that look like? The K through 12 or pre K through 12 in Langston?
That has not been in the city since the 60s, maybe the 70s, early
really?
60s perhaps. Yeah, there's a small town adjacent to us. It's called Coyle, and at one point it was predominantly white. They had the school system there, so everyone from Langston, there's another little small town about 8 to 10 miles away called Meridian, and for anyone that was in the town of Call, they would all kind of congregate together and go to that school there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the school district. There's no K through 12 in Langston. We have a higher education institution. Some of the finest people in the world.
Okay. So you have that higher education. How about any even extracurricular activities? Or what you would consider, you know, recreational or after school activities for the children and youth?
No, that hasn't been the case. My wife did capitalize on that in the early days she was so instrumental in getting a lot of the parents and a lot of the children together. She'd also communicate so well with all of the churches in the area. So she's always been that organizer that would make things happen like that. But right now there's she's got some other interests, and no one else seems to want to pick up that baton at the moment. But she's fostering some people, and hopefully that'll start to happen really quickly. And she's really she's really good at picking the right people for the right job.
Okay, great. Okay, well that's interesting. So so you guys have, who was mayor just before you? This last time.
A lady by the name of Sheila Stevenson.
Okay. What were some of her achievements?
Uh, she represented Langston for, I believe, 4 years. 4 years?
Okay.
Yeah, she represented Langston for 4 years, and she well, of course, she lost in the last election to me. So we, she, yeah.
Okay. Was there anything that you leave, something there that you could, you know, pick up on and be able to develop, carry on?
No. Mm-hmm. No, we haven't. We're having to, unfortunately, inherit a lot of bad situations where we have to straighten out before we can actually start to run. But that was expected.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, that was a lot of interest in a lot of other things during the last administration that were simply not common business practices. So, yeah. So they were addressed. They were addressed. But yeah, that's yeah.
Yeah. So how important is it for us as a people? And also, Dr. Tatum, you might, being that you're almost in that position, to keep the history and heritage of our black towns alive, like Tatum's, Oklahoma, Langston's, Oklahoma.
Well, for Tatum, you know, I guess in the beginning they had, what, 50, 51 white townships. Now you have 13. To have a story to tell, especially for African Americans in the 21st century, lets us know that we can do it and it still can be done. And, you know, Boyd is telling us right now that he's the mayor now. It's still being done. So that gives us great. And we know even in major cities, even in Los Angeles back in the day, Tom Bradley used to be one of the chief of police, and he became the mayor of Los Angeles. You have a mayor in Chicago, which I grew up, you know, first female mayor and there in Chicago. Tells us, starting from humble beginnings of small towns, particularly in Oklahoma, that we can aspire to the bigger cities, to the bigger format in our nation, and to aspire to the presidency, as Barack Obama did. So the sky's the limit, you know, go beyond that. So for in America, in the 21st century, it lets our younger people that are coming behind us to know that there's nothing that cannot be done, that being a part of being able, a lot of people don't know the history of the Moors, where we came up with different things dealing with hygiene that during the Middle Ages, a lot of people dying because of diseases, but it was African-American, our people, the Moors, having that rigid understanding and able to turn Europe around. So it's very important. I think the mayor is outstanding person, and also to be in the clergy, you know, he gets a triple star. So God bless
him. right, absolutely.
Dr. Tatum, you know the one thing that, pardon me, I've never, I stand 6'6" tall and weigh about 230 pounds. And so the only I've never wanted to be in front of anyone. I mean, even in school, you know, I was a foot taller than anyone else, and it looked like God got a way of always putting me in being in the front of the clock, you know. And I want to be in behind the clock. I want to make things happen behind the scenes. I appear to be more effective behind the scenes than I am in front of the scenes. And God said, "No, I want you in front of the scene because this is the second time around."
Right.
All right, Lord.
Don't take it the wrong way. I used to be a comedian, so you really won by intimidation, right?
like my arm's so short, I can box with God. Yeah, I won by intimidation. Oh my goodness!
Did you have any? So like speaking of your height and Dr. Tatum piggybacking on that in his comedian career, you know, some people are stereotyped, and you know, when they're in the public eye, and people sometimes will say or feel, oh, they don't want this type of person, you know, to represent them. I'm thinking of this Mayor Foley. What was her name? Leah Foley Davis. She was the first black female. Yep, you remember her? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, yep, and she was a welfare mother, a single mother of five and on welfare. And I remember reading somewhere where she said that while she was campaigning in her little small town there, that, you know, the door was slammed in her face and they didn't want nobody with, you know, five children on welfare leading them. You guys run into anything that or, you know, similar type of thing? But she was elected, and she served for a long time, I believe, a long time.
No, the adage is that, what is the old adage, that they used to say, you know, we've done so little, so long with not so much, we can do almost anything with a little bit of something
right,
something like that.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
That's for sure. That's for sure. We have a way of taking little or nothing and turning it into something. Take nothing. I mean, just take nothing. It's all about what you believe. And how hard, you know, how hard you get out there and work and find other advocates and, you know, activists and people on board, get people on board with you. But really, as they say, the sky is the limit, but really it isn't. There is really no limit. When you can use your imagination.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And just as we have supporters, we also have enemies. Did any of your enemies step out and let you know, you know, boldly that they're your enemies around, either in town or outside of town, nearby town? Kind of curious. Or attempt to give you a hard time, you know, attempt to give you a hard time when you're either, you know, campaigning or before when you were mayor, like intentional, you know, like without a doubt, they didn't like you, you know, for whatever reason.
Well, yeah, but you know, that's, I mean, if I get started, you know, I'll preach a decent sermon in church, and even after church, I've got some folks that have come up, and, you know, and say, well, I don't like what you said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like how you said it. I don't like how you said that, Pastor. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it. I guess it's gonna always be someone that's gonna not think that you're, you know, in line with someone that they need, but. To be vocal about it. There are some, I would elevate them to the term of nemesis. You know, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Some who's just going to give you a battle, you know, some people are going to give you a battle regardless.
Yeah. 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 It's just some, so it's that way. And You know, you have to prepare yourself. You can't avoid them. You have to have some mother wit about it. So, as they say, your enemy is your friend. That's what Jesus said about it. You know, so you embrace them, and sometimes it goes the right way. Sometimes it doesn't. But blessed be the name of the Lord.
Exactly. Right. So, I guess the child, the education is like your commodity, you might say, right now. You have any other? Do you have to go out of town for everything, or there's something? Are there any like convenience stores, gas stations?
There's only one convenience store in the town for the town itself. But now on campus, there's a student store. Where they can enjoy it. But they get off campus, and it's just a little convenience store where they can come down and get them some knickknacks and snacks. But
the college needs something too. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, it has been determined from my point of view, from what I've studied, that education is the enemy of the town in some profound way. The wealth of education that the university provides, the degrees that it confers, and the talent that it has fostered in this small town has now gone out into the wild blue yonder, and they've left the place that gave them all of that education, all of that knowledge,
of
that shareable, all that keepable things that they should have shared. You know, that they should have taken a look around and said, okay, I've got to do something for what gave this to me. I mean, and that's the real view of how things are. Education has always been the enemy of the town.
Oh, wow.
It flees. Yeah, it flees away.
Wow. Because they come there, then they'll get educated, then leave. The residents, the young people, go to school and get the knowledge and then go somewhere else, opposed to, you know, helping there to build. So, wow.
Yeah, in this small town, HBCU, there was a portion of town that was called, oddly enough, Professor's Row. It was a group of professors and doctors that had gotten together, and they said, okay, we're gonna bond together. A few of us are gonna live here, and they eventually did, and that was the reason for the name of it. But that was a spigot. That was only a very small portion. And you know, although they made a contribution to the population, there was no way for them to make a contribution to the town. If I, you know, in terms of spending, because they still had to take it outside of the town to do that.
Right, exactly. So right now, your population is made up of. Do you have a good number? Well, I guess you would have with the professors and those affiliated with the university would have a good number of well-educated people who actually still live there.
You would think so, wouldn't you? But but unexpectedly. And again, education is the enemy of this. Unavoidably, no, they don't live there. Mm-hmm. They don't live. They're transient. They teach
oh,
here.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they produce some of the finest students in the world from here, but they, mm-hmm. they don't really. That's something that we have to balance.
So they're
I don't know how.
They're going. They're coming and they're going. Your professor. Oh, wow.
In the sense that they don't live here. Yeah.
Okay. Okay,
yeah,
so they come
in there
and work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. So then your people, your population that's living there then are mostly like your low income or mid, kind of lower income level.
Well, you would think so, but no, I mean there is some moderate income
mm-hmm.
in the town,
mm-hmm.
but not poor. There's not
okay.
Poor. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So more moderate income level. Okay.
Yeah.
And okay, that's good. That's very good though. That's very good. So I mean, my guess would be that just from our conversation that you know to bring about some real changes there, your wife is definitely a organizer, and she sounds like she's going to be very instrumental or can be very instrumental in strengthening the economics there in that
mm.
area once she gets going.
Yeah, if it were left up to me, I would etch her across the history of Langston. She's been an integral part of the,
mm-hmm.
of the way things happened then and
mm-hmm.
now, and in a lot of
mm-hmm.
ways she's chosen the direction.
Mhm. Okay.
Yeah, she's an amazing
yeah,
lady.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Dr. Tatum, coming from your side of a city, and then you've been there to Tatum's. What would you do? In your little studies, what kind of ideas do you have for preserving these historical black towns?
Okay. Well, for Tatum, I'm pretty much concur a little bit with Mayor Boyle. They do need some infrastructure. They need, a store. They need a gas station. They need probably a small school available. I know at one time they did have one in Tatum. Need some more infrastructure to draw and attract, and I think if they can allocate some funding to that, and I think that's one of the things we're trying to do, Mayor Boyle, as we work on this project HR 1242. One of our goals is raise a billion
mm-hmm.
and $10 billion by next year, between a billion and $10 billion to try hopefully get that some grants available for small towns, black townships and other endeavors to tell our stories. So that's one of the things that we're looking to do, Dr. Lee, that's what is in my heart, my passion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I applaud you.
Okay.
I applaud your efforts, and anything that I can do to assist you in promoting that, please let me know.
Well, brother, a big 6 foot six brother like you praying, I know all my prayers going to be answered. Praise God.
Amen, brother.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is interesting. I'm excited about it. Mayor Boyle?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I think I cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, you didn't. I was just applauding what Dr. Tatum
mm-hmm.
was saying, you know,
New Life Missionary Church, your associate pastor there at the New Life Missionary Church. That is located right there in Langston.
No, it's actually outside. It's actually outside of Langston. Now I was at New Hope, which is located in Langston, and some fortuitous turn of events. My brother, who has always been an humble person, was given the opportunity to assume the pastoralship of a congregation, and he took it. And so he asked me, he said, would you help me to organize this? And because he knew that that's what I did. So I said, yeah, I'd be glad to. So we done that, and I end up staying there. He's a God-fearing young man, and I was an associate pastor here in Langston at New Hope. And so when we went to New Life, it just was a natural progression, and everyone there I knew from past experiences, and my mom went to church there as well, so I kind of we've done the family thing.
Okay, well, this is very interesting. What I guess I'm like historically, and you know, school, the higher education has been the enemy, you say, and historically, when we go back in history, and we lost what was kind of like the pattern. We started with the 50 black towns. And, you know, yes, down now to 13, you know, like historically, what was the pattern for each one dropping off?
Yeah, that would be an interesting, little history, Dale, to determine that. Yeah.
And so there's 13 now. Do the 13 of you work together to you know, plan together in any sort of way, coming up with any type of strategy to continue?
Dr. Lee, surprisingly enough, this Saturday is the first conference that I was invited to again. To the Oklahoma Conference of Black Mayors. So we've got all of the mayors are going to meet in Clearview on this Saturday, and we're going to do exactly what you just laid out. We're gonna just talk amongst ourselves and just see what we've got going on. Is going to be what it's going to be about.
Okay.
What's best practices? What's working? What's not working?
That's excellent. That's excellent, because if there's anything that all 13 of the towns should do is to come together and each one plan. And that's where I know Neighborhood Commerce comes in and can definitely help in that respect, you know, too, because the if you're together, you're stronger, and together would definitely make it strengthen your opportunities for that infrastructure, as Dr. Tatum was saying, to build that infrastructure. So that's exactly, you know, what is needed at this time. We're gonna be wrapping up in about 10 or 15 minutes, so I'm going to ask Dr. Tatum to come on in here and chime in. And then I guess I'd like to hear your inner gut feelings about, what has happened, yours, Dr. Tatum, relative to Tatum's, and then yours too, Mayor Boyle.
Amen. Regardless of Tatum, I guess as they mentioned a week or so ago, a lot of people, as Mayor Boyle was saying, that would come to a small area, get what they need, and pretty much disseminate or go and migrate to other areas. And then some will come back and whatever they learn and invest. So I think with some of these small cities, the 13 that are remaining, I can't speak for all of them, but for, at least Tatum, they need something to come back to. I mean, you got history, and most of them, because they do have land ownership, that guarantees that you have the generations coming back, but you need to have the future, and that's where the infrastructure, and that's what we hope to do. So my inner gut feeling is that it's important to it financially, economically, and show them a future and instead of just the past, and go forward to give this new generation something to look forward to. I think that would be one of the staples that would attract them.
So are you, how about the foreigners, this just come to my mind, like China is and others are coming in into some of these cities. Are not these small towns getting that as well? The small black towns because of the land?
Not here.
Okay. So I'm certain that there has to be some minerals and some wealth probably somewhere that's hidden in all those acreages, if it's nothing, but development, definitely could come in, develop and build more homes.
There. Now, see, you hit on something that my wife has been. See, she's been my inspiration for this because she's, she's quiet, she's unassuming, and she's brilliant to be honest with you. And she was saying, one of the things that has never been done and looked at, and what we've got to look at is all this acreage that's around here. And I said, what do you mean by that? And she said, to determine if it's agricultural, if it's commercial, and if it's not, does it need to be, or is it just residential? She said, you ain't got the three choices. And I said, that is absolutely, right. And so I think it's going to be tomorrow probably. She's already talked to some folks about this and going to get with them about just this very thing that you just said. She's just amazing when it comes to that.
Wow. Yes, that's absolutely right. We definitely, want to look at that because where there's land, there's wealth, period. That's my belief.
Yeah.
When you've got, it's wealth. I mean, that is just wide open territory for you to do so very, very much in agriculture. And then Oklahoma is, it has the medical marijuana. I don't know if it has the recreational, but there's huge opportunities there too. So I guess I think about how these small towns, how these areas are so overlooked because of who's there, They're looking at the color of the skin that's there and are now being overlooked, I think, just because. But that land, wherever there's land, you're in an abundance, you're in wealth. That's just wealth. Period. And so we build it up. unlike where Dr. Mm-hmm. Tatum, now you don't have a whole lot of land in Bakersfield, or do you?
We have a lot of land out here. I mean, they're
still
really? Like, yeah, oh my God. Because mostly you got a lot of agricultural areas, a lot of areas that's undeveloped. Probably, I'm going to put it to you like this, Amazon is coming here, and they're expanding their freeways. People coming from Los Angeles, a medium home here was going for about 300 and some thousand, whereas LA, the same home would be selling for about 800 to a million. So people are coming, migrating from LA, which is only an hour away, to come out for opportunities to purchase a home, because people are coming from Northern California. Just to give you an example, they may have a home that's only 1,300 square feet in the tech area up there. That's selling for like $1.2 million, and you can come out here and get a 2,300 square feet, 2,500 square feet for about $270. So people are coming out here in droves, and we're fastly approaching close to 400,000. We're the ninth out of 452 cities in California. We're the ninth largest city in the state of California. And California has the largest population of people. We're close to 40 million people in the state of California.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. So I didn't know it was that much land. I mean, I know it's land, but I didn't know you had that much available land. So it's not like real dense.
Yeah,
and
the problem
so,
is
inventory. You said the problem is what?
The inventory of the building. And that's
okay.
Across
okay.
the nation, low inventory is across the nation, which is driving the rents up and stuff, but the low inventory, which is packed the nation.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, so I am so very, very much looking forward to, you know, further talks and understanding, you know, more of the history and, you know, just getting everybody possible, you know, involved and throughout the state of Oklahoma. I know that you have, is her name Connie Johnson, who's running for governor? Okay,
oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts
about
her making this? Okay.
Yeah, we're going to absolutely, and I say we, and I include my lovely wife simply because they're friends, and of course we're going to endorse and help our friends. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I didn't know that. I don't know unless I missed it somewhere, but well, my goodness, that is great. That's wonderful.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Now that would be amazing that if, you know, she's elected in that state. That would be awesome.
Well,
it's time for changes.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're time for some changes. It's absolutely time. You know, we're in a time now where we're definitely looking for and expecting a shift of wealth. And, you know, as God's chosen people and based on the Bible, isn't there somewhere in there where the last is going to be first and the first going to be last?
Mm-hmm.
And that we're going to be restored. It's going to be restored to us that what the cankerworm has stolen, and that the wealth that the riches of the wealth of the rich is laid up for those of us that's called by His name, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
I'm
ma'am.
Definitely looking for a change, a shift. Really am. So this has been a great conversation. I'm looking forward to building and sharing even more So I guess we'll just take a few minutes to see if there's anyone out there with any questions. I don't see any. Let me just check this other place where people can leave questions. No, I don't see any. I don't see any lights on. So I guess people are just listening tonight. Well, you know, I'm thankful, you know, for this conversation, and I'm definitely learning and excited about everything that's happening and what we can, you know, what we can all do for one another. So we're going to wrap it up. I'm going to ask Dr. Tatum for your final thoughts and remarks, and to be followed by Mayor Boyle. And I, again, want to thank our listening audience, because if it weren't for you, we wouldn't be here. And I want to admonish everyone to please stay safe. So much is going on right now with this COVID. And, you know, I just learned of four more people very close to me who have COVID. And let me tell you where it comes from. It came from the Afghanistan, who are based on a military base. And a family member works there, brought it home to his wife, carried on to her mother and auntie. So that's four people. And they're not doing anything or saying anything about it in the media, you know, about what's going on with the Afghanistan. But that's what's going on, and that will never make up media. So, careful. Dr. Tatum.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Lee. Mayor Boyles, really enjoyed you, and I really applaud what you're doing there, sir. And we definitely want to support you. You ever come to California, look this up, and just thank God for courageous men like yourself, you know, and your wife are doing. I got a chance to meet with Connie Johnson when I was here. And for her wholeheartedly and her endeavors in Oklahoma. So in closing, just keep us in prayer, Mayor, and you and your brother, and those are Christians. That's the greatest help we can get, is that God will be successful in raising a billion to $10 billion so we can help get money allocated and disseminated across in the form of granting, help the small black townships, as well as telling our story, documentaries, films, books, and, you know, keep us in prayer and that we can get this accomplished before July 2022.
Thank you so much, Dr. Tatum. Mayor Boyle.
Dr. Lee, Dr. Tatum, I just want to extend to you, I tell you, I certainly appreciate you all letting me be part of your conversation for just a little while, and I'll certainly cherish this forever. Thank you so very much.
Oh, absolutely. We're honored. We're honored, and I look forward to learning much, much more about you, your endeavors, and working with you, and working with you all in any and every way that I can, and that, you know, where we can be supportive. That's what we're here for. So again, thank you for joining us. We certainly appreciate it, and we love you all. Thank you, listening audience. I want to admonish everyone to please stay safe. Until next week, this is Dr. Mary Lee Live saying I love you and good night. Thank you again, Dr. Boyle.
Thank you,
y'all. All right, and good night. All righty.
Peace to the ancestors. Yes. Peace to Dr. Cornell West. Yes. Peace to the movement. Yes. We came from the bottom. Ever since they got us, we've been going through these problems. 400 years behind, and it's no promise that we gon' never actually be equal, to be honest. It's messed up how they put us in chains, kidnapped our language and changed our name. change. For when we speak Ebonics, then they call it a shame. They leave us with a couple options, rob or slang. Now we locked up a game. How much can our skin take? We went from slaves to inmates, carrying the weight of the 50 states. Working your forms, black nannies carrying white babies in their arms. Black men sacrifice their lives in your wars, but you'll never show appreciation here at home. You treat us so damn wrong, you act like you hate my race. The police, they just beat us in the streets like an 808 base. America, when will you defend my case? It never will, cause your freedom is fake. I'm only living here cause I'm willing to get paid enough to round up all my family and shake.
Get up, 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 get up,
get up. They done tore down all the PJs in my barrio. Gang units for worst case scenario. Might work, still a couple of quirks. Can't call it pancakes cause you pour some syrup. It's a whole lot bigger than a pretty new house, especially when the rodent's still running about. P. Diddy running marathons, races go. That's going to the school where the tax money go. Homeland Security, now there's a phenomenon. Pacifying folks by hanging Saddam. Troops still riding, still obliging, still no Bin Laden. Tuned in waiting for the president's announcements. No 40 acres, take these 40 ounces. We ain't gonna get on the levees. Revolution televised early. Is you ready?
Why you wanna treat me so cold? America, I done gave you all that I own. America, took me from my mama so young. America, locked me up and gave me your name.
When you steady being forced to climb the shit ahead. Have you beat and lost your mind? Especially when you done been down for so much time. Getting up don't even really ever cross your mind. You got porn shop, gun shop, liquor store sign. SWAT team, crack fiend, unemployed line. Stay late, dollar short, trying to buy time. What we do to survive is defined as a life of crime. You can't ball, then you forced to grind. If you fall, then you cross the line. And I've been putting in work from 9 to 5 and 5 to 9. Since phone calls cost a dime. What it made me is one of the relevant, highly intelligent brothers not only dealing with this. Same drugs selling. If I'm a hustler, then what's more American? We all founded on the same thug heritage.
Why you wanna treat?